Welcome to the Pure Heart Podcast. We are a mother and daughters, Moira, Laura, and Jess from the Pure Heart Center, the home of healing and heart leadership.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Pure Heart Podcast.
Well, the head, it's something that we live in. Well, every day, all day, every day, I find people identify themselves as what's going on in their head. It can be their thoughts, it's that push, it's what all the should-be's. It's just chatter. I often say, if I have a client, what's going on in your head? If there was a room of people talking that way, would you walk into that room? And they say no. And I said, well, that's the same with your head. You know, we need to let our head empty out and come back to a peaceful state. Because if we're constantly listening to what's going on, that's just chewing up your day. It's confusing. It can be intimidating. It can be nasty. You know, we have an inner critic that's always telling us what we're doing wrong. It thinks it's protecting us because we have a part of the brain that's wired to do that. You know, it's generally based on fear, the head. It's generally based on experiences we've had and we don't want to repeat them. So we're living in that state of, got to be careful. So to me, the head's a powerful part of ourselves. But it's not all of us. And we have to get to know the whole self and then balance and align that and embrace that. So we get to a point then we can use the head to take action, because the head is the experiences we've had. It's the learning. It's the education. It's the know-how. You know, when we get up in the morning, we wouldn't know how to go and clean our teeth if we weren't taught, or how to make our breakfast, etc., etc., drive the car, get dressed, all of it. So we need what's in that mindset. But if it's not serving us day to day, then we have to take responsibility and go, hang on, is this really who I am? And slow down and really listen and make decisions on where we're going in life so we can change our mindset. It's all about mastering that mind.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
Yes, well, I find with clients, they think they might be in their heart, but often it's their head, whether it's trying to stay positive or focus on the good. You know, but it's still keeping them busy and it's still keeping them out of that heart space. There's lots of different personalities, like you were saying, that go on in our head, and it's like that safety mechanism that's been put in place to stop them from going down into their heart, because mm-hmm. people are scared of change or scared of what they might feel when they go down there. The head too is that worry, that constant trying to figure it out, trying to control, trying to almost, you know, we all want to know what the outcome's going to be so that we can relax into what's happening instead of fearing what could happen or trying to be unawares to protect ourselves from what might happen. Whereas when we stepped down into their heart, and once I've stepped out of, you know, all those different voices and different personalities, and they've stepped down into their heart, they really get that sense of trust and mm-hmm. that sense of knowing. And then they're able to relax knowing that anything might happen, but they can come down into that that sense of trust, of knowing that they can handle it, knowing that they can be in the moment with it, knowing they can see the beauty in what might not be beautiful, but they can feel that, oh, I'm okay. Yeah. And they can, once you feel that inner wisdom and intuition, you can relax and step out of that mind and step back and look at it as the observer instead of letting that mind take you on that roller coaster ride of fears and worries and getting caught up in it.
Anxiety.
Yeah. They can step out of that and then notice that they're, like you're saying, the mind isn't you. You are the one that's observing the mind, and then you're able to then master the mind to focus it on what your heart truly desires.
Yeah, so you let go of trying to control everything out of fear. Yeah, I probably have a good little experience I had many, many years ago with that. I had a young lady knock at the front door, and when she answered, my heart went out to her straight away, because you could see she was very unwell. She was very, very underweight and didn't look like she was going to be on the planet for much longer. And she said to me, someone told me to come and see you. And I said, of course, come in. Tell me what's the problem. And bless her heart, she was having a struggle with an eating disorder. And I said the same thing to her. The voices that are in your mind telling you not to eat, or what will happen if you do eat, or that you're not perfect enough the way you are. Does that happen often? She said, oh, all the time. But isn't that what's meant to happen? Isn't that who we are? And I said, goodness, no. You know, if you had those voices in a room, would you go into the room or would you stay out of the room? She said, oh, no, I'd stay out of the room. And I said to her, well, that's why you've come to me. I can clear those voices out of your head, but you have to master the mind to keep them out, right? Mm-hmm. So I can clear those thoughts away for you. That's what a spiritual, as you know, spiritual healer does, so that you can find clarity and rest in that clarity and then go, this is how I want to think. This is who I really am. This is what I want to do. And this is when we start to journey down into the heart. You start to find the truth. It's not a belief structure. So you can hear that this young lady took on these beliefs growing up. Mm-hmm. Particularly, unfortunately, in school, she had a lot of victimization at school. She was bullied a lot at school. And so she believed she didn't fit in, and to fit in, she had to be a certain way. And that began a journey for her, which was horrendous. And she just had so much fear of survival in that she had no idea which way to go. But by stopping and being still, and we took a journey inward and became the observer, as you just said, and allowed the spiritual part of her to do some work, and our spiritual part, like I work with spirit as well, to work with her, that she could clear that, and she had a taste of who she really was without all those voices nagging her in the head. So again, you know, I often say that with clients, really listen to what's going on, not to believe it, to be curious.
Yeah.
As though someone's telling you this. Do you really want to hear it? And that's where I use something like, I say, use a white bus with white wings. You know, put it all on the bus. Imagine people are getting on the bus and flying away. Really empty out that mind and come back to a peaceful place. Because that's the first thing that people say when we say, do some more meditation. That will really help. Oh, but I can't. My mind's too busy. Well, it is, because it's wired to save you. It's wired to protect you. But the stronger you become in understanding that and observing that and making choices to what you want to listen to and what you want to act upon is starting to find your heart. But when have you witnessed that your mind has taken over and put you in a state of fear?
You know, with relationships, your mind steps in because you want to protect yourself. You don't want to get hurt again or go through something similar that you've gone mm-hmm. into the past. Your mind will... You've definitely experienced that, where your mind comes in and you look for all the negatives and look for what could be, because it's your mind's way of saying, well, I'm not going through that again, so let's just try and stop it before it even gets there.
So that's making judgments, isn't it, based on the past?
Yeah.
So you see, we miss that point of living in the present. Mm-hmm. So we're so worried about what the future's going to do based on the past that we miss the present. Mm-hmm. Whereas coming into your heart means to actually be in that moment and feel what you're feeling, doesn't it? So if you really feel for that person and you express from your heart how you really feel and what you want, not what you think you should have or not what you have to do to protect yourself based on a past yeah. experience. So straight away you can hear it's all chatter, isn't it?
Definitely.
It's just chatter in your head. And you have to smile. There's no fear in any of it. It's actually becoming your own best friend and giving yourself that love and support, really loving yourself in it and smiling and going, oh, here it goes again. What are you telling me? What are you warning me against? Mm. Oh, that's right. That happened to me way back then. Well, what did I not learn way back then? What did I not do that I could have done to improve that situation? Or what was the gift in that situation from that person? So we start to drop that judgment and we get into that forgiveness, because we get to acceptance of, okay, it was all perfect. So show me the truth in that so I can become better in my behaviors in the relationship, or the way I think, or the way I express myself. Mm. And as you said, if you're not judging it by the past, but allowing the past to be your teacher and to show you something, not go into the chatter then, oh, they were so bad, or yes, I've got to be so careful, I can never trust those kind of people. There's the chatter again. Yeah. So as soon as you hear that chatter, again, just stop, take a breath and say, okay, mind, I can hear you trying to protect me. So you become the authority of that. You're having the conversation with the mind. So you're harnessing it and saying, take a breath, right? So you're guiding that. And then you come back and you go, as I said before, you ask the questions, what did I need there? Did I use my voice? Did I speak up? Or did I try to manipulate? Or did I become codependent and not even tell them anything, expected them to read my mind? How many times in relationships do we have this millions of thoughts and we think we've had the conversation with the person and they might say, but you never said that. Oh, I did. I can remember it. I did. But you probably didn't. You had the conversation in the head, because everything goes on in our head and it gets bigger than Ben-Hur, that you're living a fantasy then, an absolute fantasy. So yeah, we've got to come back to the heart. The heart's got the truth.
And what would your definition of the heart be?
Well, the heart to me is, I find that in a space of peace. I cannot find that when my head is chattering at me. And that's why the breath is so important, to take a breath and come back to, oh, actually falling down into my body, literally. I'm not, my nervous system isn't holding me up in the head listening to all this chatter. I'm actually coming away from it. You can chatter as much as you like. I'm focused on down here in my heart, even sometimes putting my heart. I remember you saying one day, you know, just putting your hand on your heart and giving it a gentle movement, just moving the skin to bring your awareness down into that place, and then just feel it. How do I really feel here? What do I really want to say? You know, what do I want to tell this person or ask this person, or what do I want to create here? And listen to that truth. Again, I've had many situations with clients where I'm listening to what they're saying and hearing the truth behind what they're saying, because I can hear the chatter in what they're expressing, but behind that is the truth in their words. So when I express the truth, they'll then say, oh my goodness, can I write that down? That's just exactly what I want to say. And I said, but you just said it. I heard you say it, but you're not listening to the truth. You're listening to the chatter in your head.
Yeah, definitely.
Big difference. What about you? What is that definition of the heart for you?
For me, when I'm up in my head, it can feel busy or restricted. Whereas when I come down into my heart, it's that expansive feeling, that sense of, like you're saying, relaxation, trust, and that just sense of love and even just that acceptance of self. So you're really just trusting where I'm at and where I'm at in the moment. And I also notice with clients when they come in and they're in their head, it's almost, and then they have the experience of coming down into their heart, they leave with a glow, you know, they're emanating instead of that constrictive, and they just look lighter and so much more trusting. You know, towards the end of a session, I'll get clients to talk to their pre-session self, to say, what would you have said, what would you say to your pre-session self? And most of the time, it's, you're going to be okay.
Exactly.
And it's only been like an hour and a half or 2 hours that we've been in the session. But in that small amount of time, by coming into their heart and letting go of that heaviness and stepping out of their head, they can say to their pre-session self, you're going to be okay. Mm. And they just want to give them a big hug. And they often get emotional because they can just see how much they weren't trusting, how much they were fearing. And they're just so much lighter. Even the way they're laying on the table is lighter. And so they're just glowing when they leave, because they've come back down into their heart, come back down into that trust. And it's just, they, like they say, it just feels like they look clearer.
Yeah.
And that chatter's gone. They can see things for what it is.
That encapsulates the heart, all those words you've just said. You know when someone's in their heart, because they are light, they're clearer. Mm-hmm. They're clearer, their energy, but they have clarity. You know, they have a new strength in them. So that's what you're saying. After an hour and a half, they look back at the person that walked into the session, and they're giving them confidence. They're saying, it's okay, we got this. I'm out of the pea soup. I'm out of the fog of the mind and all the emotions, and we're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Which I find is so powerful, that it's not them having to look to an external source to tell them that they're going to be okay. Mm. They have found that light and that wisdom within themselves of, you know, that we obviously teach them skills and different things in the session, but they are then able to go out with that confidence of, you know, I've got this.
Yeah. So what you're saying in a session is they have an experience of their true self.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by guiding them in and slowing that connection down between the observer part of the self with all the chatter, you know, being lost in it, I kind of liken that to a balloon. You know, you've got a balloon up there floating around amongst all these chatters, people chattering, and the balloon floats down into the heart, and that space is created. So whenever we create space, we are then in the spiritual self, and it happens to you then. The healing happens, the guidance comes, you find the clarity. You know, you suddenly know that you're a wise being. You know that there's more to you than what's going on up in the head. So, yeah, I think that's pretty well summed up, isn't it? The difference between the head and the heart. The head is powerful. It's, and we use the word mind and mindset. We should perhaps mention that. And it's knowing that the mind is universal. The mind is massive. You know, we have an individual mind. We have a mindset that we grow up with. And maybe we'll talk about this on another session. But the mind is universal. We are all connected together. And I think that is shown even in a session, because I don't know about you, but before someone comes, I feel different to myself.
Definitely.
And so you've got a pretty good idea how this person is going to feel when they come. So when they go, you're feeling light and clear as well, which is, I know that you feel that quite often, and so do I, because we do quite a bit of meditation. But after feeling the person that's coming, you have empathy because you feel they might be heavy or tired or just not feeling happy in themselves. And then when they go, they feel light and good, and we feel light and good. So you see that connection we all have together is powerful. So by making up our mind to come back to our heart and find that clear, light, heartfelt self, what a powerful effect it has when we go out with other people, doesn't it? Being able to hold your center in your heart, you actually give them a taste of it. And we know that's true, because when they come to us, they don't. When they leave, they do. We feel them, it has an effect on us, but we recognize and don't own it because we know who we are. And when they go, we're back to ourselves again. So it's the best gift you can really give humanity and yourself and your family, is to find that heartfelt self, isn't it? Because it's okay, if you imagine you met someone and you feel madly in love, suddenly the whole world is filled with love, isn't it? You see it everywhere. And you could be somewhere in a shopping center and someone's arguing at the cash, you know, where they're paying for their food. And you just stand back and smile, and it doesn't even affect you. You actually feel empathy for them because you're in your heart. And then maybe you go home and get thrown out your heart because somebody is in a good mood, and then you feel their mood and you have an argument and you've lost that connection with your heart again. So you see, it's very easy, isn't it, to flip from one to the other. But the more we're aware of what it means to find your heart and come back to it and hold that center, you have the power then to affect others in a much more positive and loving way.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And I find when you're sensitive, I obviously can't speak for anyone else, but it can be hard, like it can be very easy to be thrown out of how you're feeling because you're picking up on how other people are feeling.
Yes.
And so that's why I find meditation so helpful. And when I'm feeling that I, you know, I'm struggling to be in the heart with my kids or struggling to find the joy, if I just go and do a quick 20-minute meditation, I love listening to Yoga Nidra or something like that, something where you're taken through a process, like some of your beautiful recordings, I just come out and I just feel so much clearer. Yeah. And the way I interact with the kids is completely different. My patience is completely changed because I'm not coming from that frustration, trying to control it. I'm coming from my heart and coming with compassion and patience.
Oh, and that's...
which is really, when you're tired and feeling overloaded and in your mind, is really hard.
Patience is a big lesson, isn't it? But what you're talking about now is your values, isn't it? Because your values as a mother is to create that space for your children, to take responsibility. So I think values are a good starting point, aren't they? We all need to sit down and write out what's our top values. For me, family's way at the top of the list. My spirituality is way up there. My health is up there, and freedom. Yeah, they're four massive values that I have, and that they've been my whole life, really. I mean, I was taught very young that your body is like a temple. You've got to look after it because it's got to last you a long while for your soul to grow and learn. And so whenever my body's had a reaction to the soul growth where the health hasn't been good, I'm very quick to get onto that and make sure my body gets what it needs to be able to repair itself. And the same with freedom. You know, I've had to, I don't mean freedom where I've got to be on my own, but I need to be able to express myself and have freedom of movement. So I've got to be where I need to be and do what I need to do. And of course, family. Well, you know, I just love my family and you're my life, absolutely my life, and nothing more makes me more happy than my whole family come together and we share things together. So I think once you get your values right, then it's much easier to make the decisions of how to come back to your heart, because as you said, your children are a massive value for you. So if you're not feeling equipped to handle something, you'll go, I've got to go within, and I've got to get myself grounded and balanced so that I can come back and be in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think values too are a big key in helping slow down, like knowing your values are a big key in getting that mind chatter to slow down, because we are bombarded with so many shoulds and, you know, using the example of parenthood, like, you know, on Instagram and different things, we're given so many different pieces of advice of how we should do it.
Yeah.
But when we have that real key, like real knowledge of our own values, then we're able to parent or have a relationship or even in your work, be able to do it in a way that's aligning to your values instead of doing it in the way that our brain, I know it, my own experience in parenting, but I should do it this way. And
yes.
And other, someone else is comparing myself to another mum is doing it that way. But it's like, hang on, no, what do I want to create? What are my values coming back to my heart?
Mm.
And stop listening to that noise of you not doing a good enough job, because this person, she can keep her house really clean and you have not mastered that skill. But my values is I want to be able to do this work and I want to spend time with my family. So instead of putting that pressure on myself, I'm going to get a cleaner to come in once a week, because my values, that's my value, because that's what's important to me.
Yes.
But someone else might prefer to spend that money on something else that aligns with their values.
Mm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I totally hear what you're saying there. If we can't get our head clear on what's important to us and set boundaries and have values, then it's very hard to get focused in the moment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're back into that chaos of the chatter again in your head, listening to all the judgments and shoulds and don'ts and where I've been and what I should be doing, or, you know, someone is going to come and criticize me and then I'm going to have to prove myself. So I'm back into that victim consciousness again. So yeah, by taking the time to meditate or have a healing, go within and actually observe that and get what is really important to me, what's at the top of the list, what are my priorities, and then put into place boundaries so that other people respect that, because to me respect is a massive value as well, you know. Particularly doing this work over the early years in it, there wasn't a lot of respect because there wasn't the understanding. Yeah. And until you've had an experience in it, I totally accept that, you know. But now people are having more and more experiences and it is the respect is there, so it is becoming a massive value. And people want to connect with their inner guidance, and the way to do that is through the heart. That is a very clear knowing. There is no emotion attached to that, and there's no chatter. You just know. It just is, yeah. You just know. But of course, emotion can come in afterwards, and chatter can come in afterwards, and then so you can drown out that knowing and go back into listening to the shoulds and the coulds and supposed to, or the judgments. But again, it's not to beat yourself up. It's to say, right, there I go again. And you're recognizing that. You're becoming more aware. I've just flicked back into the head. So if I stop again and check in with that inner guidance, no, it's still there. It feels right. It really feels right. And if you still don't trust it, write it down.
Yeah. It's not about being perfect in it and your mind always being positive and, you know, never flicking back into the emotion.
Oh, we're human.
Or staying in your heart 100% of the time. It comes back to that awareness again and just noticing and just allowing yourself to realize and not beat yourself up. Oh, like you said, I've done that again. Why? What's coming up for me?
Hmm.
And then just with that curiosity, following that path back to your heart.
Yeah, they say if we meditate, say, a half an hour a day, say you meditated for half an hour in the morning and found your heart space, that can carry you through that 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we're all wired to our natal chart and astrology, that it will flick you back into the mind, because we are human beings, we have a nervous system, we're on the planet to grow. We have to go back into the mind, right? There's nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with anybody. It's a game, right? Mm. I love seeing life as a game and a test. You're always looking at ticking the boxes that, yep, got that one, passed that one. So if you see it as a perspective that you're observing it and how you're responding or reacting to it, then you're getting to know yourself really well. And so by meditating half an hour every day, finding that heart space, you know that it might last 24 hours, but that's okay, because you can go back and meditate for another half an hour. And when you have a reaction, that is life saying, go and meditate. You're reacting, not to beat yourself up, not to try and prove to the world you were right, wrong, what was good or bad. Go back and find your heart in it again, and you'll find the truth. And that's all, you know, we teach, the letting go. Do your Do what you're here to do. Be responsible and start loving yourself. Yeah. Start giving yourself attention. Give yourself time. Be your own best friend. Give yourself love and support.
Definitely. Because I know from a personal example, it was only a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what was even happening, but I just felt this crushing pressure on my heart. And I was aware of it, and I said, I need to really look after myself in this. Mm. So every spare 20 minutes I had, I think in 24 hours I meditated 5 times. And that's all I did. Well, I might have expressed some emotions and did that kind of stuff, but the main thing I did was listen to this visualization. It was almost 5 times over that 24 hours, and it shifted. Yes. And I was able to, just by simply laying there and going within, letting it lift off, it did, it went, but I made it my priority to look after myself in it instead of trying to push through it. You should keep going. You should be doing the dishes. No, I need to go and lay down for 20 minutes and look after me.
Lovely.
And that lifted off. So I think when you are aware of your values, that's when you can make those boundaries. And not just in that instance, but during the week in your diary, setting out those times, blocking out times to include your values. So it's because your boundaries are not just to keep people out, they're to allow time for things that are important to you. So, you know, knowing that, no, I've got this booked in, so no, sorry, I can't come to that cup of tea because I have got this that's really important to me.
And that's being decisive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can hear what you're saying. I've had the same experience, and you know, you should be giving yourself a big hug and recognition for loving yourself that much, because it's not easy to be able to have that 5 20-minute minutes to do that, obviously. Sometimes if we are pushed, we can make doing the dishes a bit of a meditation, or washing our hair a bit of a meditation, can't we? Just to be in the moment and breathe and feel what we're feeling and get that awareness of what the head's doing to you, that it's creating this in reality right in this moment. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're right here just doing the dishes or washing your hair and everything's okay. Yeah. You've gone too far ahead.
Yeah, definitely.
You're worrying about something that may not even happen, or you're basing what you think is going to happen on where you've been. So look at the past, like we said earlier.
And like three of those, one was when I was going to sleep, one's when I woke up in the middle of the night, and one was when I woke up in the morning. So it wasn't finding, I guess, extra time.
And you weren't tossing and turning, thinking about it. You actually took action.
Mm.
I know people are very aware of manifesting, and we've learned a lot about that over the years. We've heard movies like The Secret, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first witnessed that was way back when, many years ago. And of course it was, oh yes, this is amazing. Oh gosh, yes, the power of the mind. And it is, it's absolutely powerful. There's many methods, the silver method, all of it, that tells us the power of the mind. But the truth of it is, it has to be balanced with the heart. You can think positive, you can know what you want, but if you're not spending time connecting with the heart and getting that alignment, manifesting is still bringing in what you need to heal to get that out the way so you can manifest what you're trying to create.
Yeah, because I find too, when people are manifesting from the head, they're manifesting what they're trying to manifest, what they think they should want.
Mm-hmm.
When it can be manifesting out of fear, like fear of survival, you know, fear of being on your own. But when you come down and you let go of that and you're able to come down from into your heart, you're much more likely to manifest what you're wanting from your heart, because it's for what's your highest good.
Yeah.
It's for what's truly for you instead of what you think you should want.
Yeah, and I think money is a big example of that. I know my journey in life has been very much learning about the stress of not having money. And I can remember when I was at the height of it, being a single mum with 3 children, and there was times, it's not that we looked like we didn't have any money, we looked fine. But it was a constant budget for me, constantly, constantly budgeting, and sometimes just going over the shop with $20 or $30 and having a game with it, seeing how creative I could be, you know, to get through the weekend, making it look like party food or whatever. But when I meditated on that, I realized my mind was always looking for ways of creating more money. How do I create more money? And that's what someone would say to me. Well, start saving, or do this, or just start saving every 5-cent piece. And okay, I'll do that. So every time I got a 5-cent piece, I'd started to save it. As soon as I got, say, $5 there, something would come up from school that's exactly what I needed. So I started to witness that I was actually looked after. My heart was looking after me. When I sat in my heart and relaxed and released the fear of and anxiety of survival with not having enough, that was only a belief too, because we actually had plenty. I started to feel more gratitude for what we did have, right? I was back in the heart. And when I did do something like that, put that 5 cents and got $5, I'd feel so much gratitude that, wow, that's exactly what I needed. And I know you have a case there of a friend who had to have an operation for their animal.
Well, you know, they had in their head set aside the money that they knew was coming in for like savings, and they were going to be getting ahead, and they were so proud of themselves, but then their dog needed an operation and it was exactly the amount that they needed.
Yeah.
So it was there for them, luckily. It wasn't for what they thought it was going to be for, but they were lucky because they were able to save their dog.
Yeah. And that's what we do. We think, oh, that amount of money will give me savings and I'm safe, right? And you can, oh, I've got money there to fall back on, and then it's gone again. And that fear of survival comes up again and the head starts to tell you all the reasons that you should be upset with you. You should have saved more, you should have done this or whatever. But you see, it's all perfect. We're all looked after in that. And when we can get to that point of acceptance in the heart that everything is perfect, I'm listening to my heart, I'm following my intuition, I'm setting boundaries, I'm living my values, and I'm finding gratitude in it all, it's amazing where it comes from when we need it. And it's always there. It's like it's already planned for us, just waiting. So living in the heart is a magical place. It's filled with gratitude and joy and compassion and having empathy for others when they get out of the heart into the mind. So you're more able to be present for them, so they have a nice safe space to let go and find some heartfelt love for themselves in that, you know, if they're going through a hard time.
And being in your heart completely changes the way you communicate as well, because it's more, like you're saying, it's more of a space where you're listening to the other person instead of being in your head thinking, well, what am I going to say next? How am I going to fix this? What can I do? Or how am I going to need to defend myself? You're in the heart and you're listening with compassion and empathy and allowing them to say what they need to say. And not necessarily taking it on board as a criticism, but you're just allowing them the safe space to communicate that. And then you have the same ability to, when they're finished and it's your turn, to then be able to speak from your heart instead of your head going into that defensive,
into argument.
Argument mode, yeah, exactly.
Have to prove something to you. Well, I think we have to do another session on that, don't you?
Yeah.
I think we've covered a fair bit today, and it would be a good idea to maybe make that a topic for another time, or you and I will go on forever. So thank you, sweetheart, for the opportunity to talk about the head and the heart. I think it's a powerful place to be, and it's a major value to choose that.
We'd love to finish off with three tips of living your unique path. So three things that can be great for this is, one, to become aware of, like we were saying, your values and what you want to live by. So really taking that time to get to know yourself and writing them down. Two, make time to go within to connect with your heart center. So making time to meditate, to whether it's to go out into nature, swim, to really get out of whatever helps you get out of your mind and quieten that down, to step down into your heart. And also having that awareness of when the mind chatter is taking over, and choose to reconnect with your heart. So having that awareness, like we were talking about, the awareness, the curiosity, just what am I thinking? Is it busy? You know, and just really,
is it serving me?
Is it serving me? And then with that awareness, then taking the steps you need to be able to look after yourself and coming back to your heart.
And feel that, become aware of what it feels like to actually come down into your heart. It's not that nervous system pushing you up into your head.
Yeah, really get to know that difference, because with that awareness and understanding the feeling, it's easier to get back down into your heart space. Mm.
The heart will usually have you feeling confused.
The head.
The head will usually have you feeling confused, anxious, like you're getting lost in pea soup, you're going too far out. But the heart gives you a sense of lightness and clarity and peace and knowing.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are feeling connected to your heart and that you have taken value away from today's episode. We would absolutely love to invite you into our Pure Heart community, a home base for the woman choosing a heart-centered life. You can read more about it and sign up at online.pureheartcenter.com/community. And if you're not over there with us already, on Instagram at Pure Heart Center, we share every day and we would just love to get to know you better.
Until next time, have a beautiful day.